Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago, maybe on a Sunday night, that Lisa and I, when we were in Japan for about 3.5 years, and it was we honeymooned in Japan, actually. It was before we had children, right after we got married. We went to Japan and stayed there for 3.5 years. One of the places that we loved to visit was a place called Hatch Annoy, and I shared it with you a couple weeks ago on a Sunday evening. It was about 45 minutes to an hour away from where I was stationed and where we lived in Misawa, Japan. It's kind of on the northern tip of the main island. 250,000 people reside in Hatch Annoy. And it's a place where it's a port, or it was before the earthquake. They have cargo ships. They have military ships, all different kinds of things. So a great place to go see. But one of our favorite places to go in Hatch Annoy was a place called Mr. Donut. This is it. This is actually the donuts we would get. We'd get about a dozen of these. We'd get a dozen of chocolate covered. But we love Mr. Donut. And after we got finished with Mr. Donut donuts, we would go just up the street a little bit, and they would have a place that we're very familiar to us here, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we were homesick. Boy, you know, these were just great places for us to go and spend some time. But I want to tell you, in Japan, Kentucky Fried Chicken is a big deal. As a matter of fact, in 1974, KFC Japan changed their whole marketing outlook. They changed their whole marketing plan, and they did something for Christmas that they'd never done before. They made it a big deal. They encouraged all the families in Japan to go get a bucket of chicken and enjoy it for Christmas. And since 1974, over 40 years, that has been the tradition for the majority of the people that live in Japan. Go get a bucket of chicken, bring it home, and eat it on Christmas, because less than 1% of the people in Japan are Christian. They don't celebrate Christmas like you and I celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Christmas as more of a romantic holiday, like Valentine's Day. And one of the big traditions that they have today in place in Japan is really to go and get a bucket of chicken and come back and enjoy it. As a matter of fact, around Christmas time, this is the scene. For a lot of people in Japan, Colonel Sanders is Santa Claus. They don't know the difference. And so if you ask them what Santa Claus looks like, that's their image, really, of Santa Claus. It's Colonel Sanders. And really, this week, beginning in Japan, they are starting their orders of buckets of chicken. That's how serious they take it. If you want to have chicken on Christmas morning, you've got to make sure you get your orders in now. So really a favorite question and this is kind of the bucket that goes to everybody. They have it kind of in a Christmas setting. But a great question in Japan right now is this: have you got your bucket yet? Have you gotten your bucket yet? They're asking that question. And really, what do they mean when they ask that? They're meaning that, are you prepared for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? They're already starting to ask that question. Now, I realize that is a great question. That is a question that we need to be asking. That is a question right now we need to be asking ourselves. Are we ready? Are we prepared for Christmas? Because the Christmas story is, first of all, about preparing ourselves for Jesus. And I want to look at it in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. We'll go through this. It says, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Verse 2 says, "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way." Verse 3, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Israel," or Jerusalem, "were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Verse 6, "John wore a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals.'" You know, Fred Rogers was born March 20th, 1928. in a little place 40 miles outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was thinking about that this past week. Speaking of cardigan sweaters, he really rocked it, didn't he? But I was thinking that this past week. Sarah, 2 days before Sarah was born, Lisa and Seth and I, that's the only ones we had in the family at the time, we took a trip to Ligonier, Pennsylvania. And in Ligonier, I don't know if you've been there, but in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, which is near Pittsburgh, they have a little place called Idlewild Park. And in Idlewild Park, at least then, I don't know if they still have it, they had a life-size replica of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you could go on the trolley and you could see all the characters of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And just that's still this day. And Sarah, after we went to that, I still got a great picture of Lisa coming out of a log cabin. And she's so pregnant. And and 2 days later, Sarah would be born. But I remember going on that trip. So Mr. Rogers started out, and he didn't have a good childhood. He didn't have a good childhood at all. He was shy. He was introverted. He was bullied at school, if you can believe that. Mr. Rogers was bullied at school. He didn't have a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, he spent most of the time growing up to sixth grade, seventh grade, he spent most of the time in his room. And what he would do in his room was he would take his stuffed animals and he'd put his stuffed animals all around the room, and then he'd write a play and he'd act out this play with his stuffed animals in his room. That's where he got kind of his love for what he did. You know, as he grew, it's a misconception that Mr. Rogers, a lot of people think that Mr. Rogers was in the military, that the reason why he wore his sweaters, there's a rumor that it's because he had tattoos up and down his arm and he didn't want to show his tattoos, but that's not true. As a matter of fact, Mr. Rogers, after he graduated college, went to seminary to become a Presbyterian pastor. And while he was in seminary, he just couldn't stand TV. He despised TV so much. But he began to realize he hated TV so much and the way it was, he decided that maybe I could make a change. Maybe I could impact it in a different way. We could see TV a little differently. And so because of his despising TV so much, he got involved in TV, again, to change the attitude that people had. Mr. Rogers was somebody who planned everything that he did. He prepared everything he did. His red sweaters or his sweaters that he wore those for a reason. He wore those because his mom made those. And he wanted to show what parents loving their children look like. And he reminded people of this. He wanted to show what children receiving gifts and showing that appreciation for that looks like. That's why he wore it, because he wanted the show to be something that was comfortable. As people were watching it, they had a comfort level. I got to tell you, I like it. I don't think I'm ever going to wear a suit the rest of the winter. I'm just going to find some more cardigan sweaters, and this is what we're going to do, because this is really comfortable. I really, really like it. But that's what he did. He planned it like that. Every show, I thought this was kind of interesting, every show was 28 minutes and 38 seconds long. And he did that for a reason. He wanted the show to be slow. He wanted the show to be methodical. As a matter of fact, he built in dead air time into the show. At those moments where nobody said anything, nobody did anything, he wanted that in the show. The producers wanted to take stuff like that out so it can move along. He wanted it in the show because this was what he wanted to do. He wanted to teach everybody patience. That, you know, it's okay to slow down and just enjoy something and just patiently watch this show for 28 minutes and 38 seconds. Mr. Rogers never went on a diet. Mr. Rogers never counted his calories. But from the early 20s to the early 70s, before he died, his weight was consistently 143 pounds. 143 pounds. Never did anything to change that. 140. Now, he saw that as his life statement. He said God kept him at 143 pounds because this is who he was. And I want to break that down for you. Let me show you here the 143 pounds. One is for I. Four is for the number of letters in the word love. And three is the number of letters in the word you. And he said that is my life statement. I love you. 143 pounds. But in all his life, in all the things that he did, he prepared, he planned. And that's what I see. I want to ask you to do something here this morning for me. I was going to ask you to sing the psalm. We're not going to do that. I think we're going to run out of time, so we're not going to worry about that. But here's what I want you to do. We are weeks away from Christmas, would you do something for me? Would you commit? We talked about commitment a few weeks ago. Would you make a commitment with me right now that we will prepare for Christmas? We'll prepare for Christmas. I want this Christmas to be special. I don't want to be rushed. I don't want to get to Christmas Eve and think about all the things I didn't do or all the things I missed out on. I want Christmas to be special. Well, Christmas is going to be special if we prepare. So if you'll make a commitment with me, I would like for all of us together to commit that we will prepare and plan for Christmas. Well, how do we do that? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is we need to prepare for our path to be straight. Verse 3 says, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, you've heard that before. You've been thinking to yourself, man, I've heard that elsewhere in the Bible. You're exactly right. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, in all our ways, acknowledge him and he'll do what? He will make our path straight. Hebrews chapter 12 says the same thing. Make our path straight. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to have our path straight? What does it mean to not have our path straight, to have our path crooked? What exactly is that talking about? Well, to understand that, I want to look at Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 10 says this, but Elymas, the sorcerer, that is the meaning of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil. I like the way he said that. I'm going to start using that, you son of the devil. Whoa, you got to be careful with that one. So, an enemy of all that is right, won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now, I want us to look at two parts here in verses 8 and 10. Verse 8 says, try to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Verse 10 says, won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Both of those phrases come from the Greek, and this is the Greek word, diastrophō. And this is what it means. If we look back at this word, again, turn away, stop perverting. So really what this passage is saying, what it means to keep our path straight is this. Anytime we don't point people to Jesus Christ, anytime we don't point people to Jesus Christ, we are not keeping the path straight. So as you look at your life right now, would you say that your life is one that is pointing people to Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. If you never said a word to people, if you never said anything to them, would people be directed and pointed to Jesus Christ by watching the things that you do and hearing the things that you say to other people? I'm talking about the things that you do in public and the things that you do in private. Would people be directed to Christ if they just watched your life? That is what it means to keep our paths straight. And so we need to have that. Would you commit to me right now that we will prepare to keep our paths straight as we head to Christmas? Because there's something I want to tell you that I think is going to help us with this. And I want to read it because I realize some people are listening on the podcast and they don't have the bulletin or the benefit of the bulletin. But here's what I want us to do. Every week up to December 1st, Monday through Friday, I want us to read and study certain passages of the Christmas story. Like, for example, Monday, tomorrow, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. Tuesday, Matthew chapter 1. Wednesday, Luke 2, 1 through 20. You could even turn this into a family devotion if you want to. But any time that you find it's good to do this, do it. If it's before you go to bed at night, you want to read over these verses. If it's during your lunchtime, if you want to look at your phone and read over these verses. If it's during the morning, during your devotion time, you want to do that. Hey, if you have your Bible out while you're watching your favorite television show and you want to do it during commercial, do it then, but find some time this week to read all those passages every day. Thursday, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. Friday, there's three of them. Matthew 4, 12 through 17. Isaiah 9, 1 through 3. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. As we strive to make our path straight, would you commit with me that we're going to read and study those passages to prepare for Christmas this year? The second thing that we need to do is this. Prepare for confession to be a daily thing. Verse 5 says, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. What's that last part say? Confessing their sins. We talked about this last week, and I shared with you, you know what? The reason why a lot of times God is not hearing your prayer, the reason why a lot of times you don't feel like your prayer is getting above the ceiling is because there is sin in our life. Let's be honest. If we're embracing sin in our life, that is going to hamper our communication with God. It's going to keep us from direct communication with God. So the very first thing we need to do every time we pray is to confess our sins before God. Now, what does that mean? That means to agree with God. God, man, I messed up. I've got a messed up time here. You know, I'm not where I need to be with you. I'm not in fellowship with you because sin is keeping me from that. Would you commit with me that between now and Christmas, we are going to prepare for Jesus. We are going to prepare for Christmas by making it a daily thing that we will confess our sins. Don't just carry these things. Don't just keep going on as if there's nothing wrong here and everything's going to be all right. Make sure we bring our sins before the Lord. There's number three that we need to do. Okay, here we go. Prepare for your lifestyle to be Christ-like. Verse 6 says, and I've always loved this one. Actually, there's a great painting of John, and he looks like a wild man. But verse 6 says, John wore a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. Why is that verse in the Bible? What is the significance of this verse? Why did John look the way he looked? Why did John act the way he acted? Why did John eat the things he ate? Why did he do these things? He did these things because that identified him with an Old Testament prophet. This was God's principles for Old Testament prophets. They needed to do these things. And so John said, in order to prepare, I want to make sure I line up with the godly principles that God has set before. In our life right now today, are we doing everything that we can to ensure that our lifestyle is Christ-like? Would you mind if I go meddling for a second? Because I think it's time to meddle. There may be things in our life right now that we're doing that you and I both know are not very Christ-like. Maybe there's worry. Maybe there's anxiety. Maybe there's a lack of trust. Maybe there's gossip. Maybe there's times that we hurt people by the things that we say. Can we commit together that we will live a lifestyle between now and Christmas the best we can that is Christ-like? Let's be honest. Some of us have potty mouths. I'm just going there. Some of us say things that we don't really want to say. God bless her. Connie Mongo last night. If you've ever seen, I'm going to tell something on Connie. No, it's not what you think, really. Connie, I set that up wrong. Can I back up for a second? Last night, we learned how to make cotton candy. I never seen how to make cotton candy. You know, Connie was making cotton candy. I'd never done this before. But evidently, on cotton candy, you pour the sugar in the middle. It's got that motor. It's got that, it turns. You have hot air coming out. And it just, voila, magical. Candy comes out, you know. But the only thing is, as you've got your hand in there, as you're turning around making the cotton candy, every once in a while, I'm told, your hand can get up against that motor. And I saw Connie do that. And that looked like that really, really hurt. But to Connie's credit, guess what? She withheld. I'm sure if there was ever a good time, Connie, to say a bad word, I think that was last night. I really do. But Connie showed amazing restraint. Now, I'm told that Connie did it again when I wasn't there, so I can't speak on what she did then. But that's what we need to do. There are things maybe that we're saying right now, that we're doing right now. Can we do it? Can we commit? Guys, Christmas is 58 days. 58 days. We are under 2 months. We can do it. You can do it for 58 days. For 58 days, can we just commit to a lifestyle that is Christ-like? Of course we can. We can do it. Number four, here's the last thing I want us to see here today, and that's this. We need to prepare to proclaim Jesus. Verse 7 says this, he proclaimed. He proclaimed what? He proclaimed that there was one who was coming. He is not even worthy to untie his sandals. He was proclaiming Jesus. We need to look for ways to prepare for Christmas by proclaiming Jesus. Christmas is a great time to proclaim Jesus. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. Here's a hint. Here's what I would do. I want us to do this. If you accept this challenge from me here to make this commitment, here's what I want us to do. I want us to find somebody to have a 30-minute discussion with this week. We're going to do it next week too. A 30-minute discussion with this week to talk about the meaning of Christmas. We can do it. It doesn't have to go exactly 30 minutes. It can go over 30 minutes. It can be a family member. It can be a coworker. It can be in our house. 30 minutes, have a discussion with somebody about the meaning of Christmas. And here's a hint. I would start with KFC. I would start with Japan. Just ask them, hey, did you know that in Japan they have this tradition that they get a bucket of chicken and they eat a bucket of chicken on Christmas Day? Did you know that happened in Japan? What about you? In your family, what kind of traditions do you have? And as they share and talk about traditions, you say, you know, all over the world, there's all kinds of traditions that people have to celebrate Christmas. Isn't it amazing that it all started with a baby who was born in a stable, and he did it for why? Why would God come to earth? He had everything he wanted in heaven. Why in the world would God ever come to earth? Because he loved you. And he can't stop that. You don't have to think anything about him. You don't have to even like God. God loves you. You can have a 30-minute discussion with somebody on the meaning of Christmas. Would you look to do that? It could be at McDonald's somewhere this week. Have a 30-minute discussion about the meaning of Christmas. And I'll go ahead and close with this. Again, these are the words to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Try to see them on the way home. But here's Fred Rogers. Fred Rogers, in 1998, stood before celebrities, political figures, famous people, and he accepted a lifetime award, an Emmy, he accepted before everybody. And every time Fred Rogers got up to speak, he would always do the same thing at the end. He would say, okay, we're going to take 10 seconds, and just have a time of silence and think about somebody who is precious to you. That can be somebody who's not here anymore. That can be somebody that's in this room right now. It could be somebody at home. But think about somebody who's precious to you that you love, and think about that person. And I'm going to give you 10 seconds. And he would look at his watch and he'd say, okay, I'm going to time it. Just 10 seconds of silence. And then after that 10 seconds of silence, here's what he would say. He never said, God bless you. Because Fred Rogers thought, you know what? God's going to bless people anyway. It's almost redundant. Why would we ask God to bless people if he's already going to bless them? But he would say this instead. He would say, may God be with you. Because for Fred Rogers, his prayer was that people would come to know the presence of God, that people would see the presence of God in their lives. May God be with you. Why are we doing this? Why do we want to prepare for Christmas so that the presence of God will be with us this Christmas? Have you gotten your bucket yet? Are we ready for Christmas?
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.